Welcome to this podcast. There may be swearing, cursing, crying, anger, and graphic material. Thank you.
From day one, you fought for your life, and you blew everyone away.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Alicia.
And we are
Changing the Chances.
Yes, we are.
Here we are for another fun-filled week of information.
Yeah, I guess I could.
Maybe it's not information.
I don't know thoughts, if it's information.
Feelings. Thoughts and feelings. Another week of thoughts and ramblings. I don't want to call it ramblings. Sometimes.
I feel like we ramble sometimes.
Sometimes. 100%. Like, let's not even argue that. Yeah, it's fair. Anyways, welcome to June, which is only Pride Month, okay? It is also Disability Month.
You know, it's funny. Our Australian listeners and everybody, you know, across the pond and everywhere, they've already been in June before us.
That's true. They're like, listen, well, I mean, by the time this comes out,
everybody will be in June, but
you are
us
correct.
Recording it right now.
Yeah.
It's only June 1st for us.
Yeah. They're already.
All those guys are
like,
already.
I've already lived a whole day of June.
Yeah.
I've already done that. That's funny. It is weird to think about
that. It's cool.
Yeah. It's just weird. Time is weird. Yeah. Anyways, like I was saying, it's not only Pride Month, it's also Disability
Awareness Month.
Awareness Month? Is that what it's called?
I can't remember. I can't remember either.
Yes, it is this month. And we did have a whole episode on that back last July, because we weren't on the ball and we slacked and we recorded in July. I do remember that.
Because March is Cerebral Palsy Awareness Month.
It sure is.
And June, gosh, I don't think it's disability. Is it disability?
Yes.
I thought they called it something else. I could be wrong. I don't know. But yes,
now you're making
me
second guess myself. I don't know. don't put me on the spot. I can't think of anything. Even if the knowledge is in my brain on the spot, I'm like, I know nothing.
That's, I get that.
But me and my weird trains of thought, I cannot explain them. But anyways, I ended up here, which is our discussion today, which we kind of touched on before, of course. This will be a little bit different. If you ask most people, because the internet is around and most people are on the internet and have probably heard this, the common theme is usually you have to find your community and you have to find your tribe and you have to find your people, which is great. Wonderful. Fantastic. This is not me mocking that at all. I agree with,
but it's also not as easy as some people make it out to sound,
right?
It's just not.
It's not. So the whole thing is, it's like,
because you can, we can try and network and get in with, the cerebral palsy community. But the thing is Piper has so many different things. And,
well, it's not even just that. You have to think,
even as far as cerebral palsy goes,
spectrum.
She's very severe. She's on the very severe end of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, children, young adults, adults that have cerebral palsy that can walk, that can talk, that are a little more comprehensive. It doesn't affect them as severely. They maybe have it in their arm or their leg. They can be asymmetrical. I think there's four main types,
which we have talked about,
which we have talked about, and they affect you differently. And even if another child at 9 years old, same age as Piper, could be a spastic quadriplegic, could have that same diagnosis, mm-hmm. and be completely different from Piper.
Yeah.
Can be, Piper's nonverbal. Mm-hmm. That child could be verbal.
Yeah.
Just there's so many things.
Yeah.
So it is hard. I mean, because even it's not like we haven't tried to look into these communities, but it's, playdates are really hard.
I think for me, that's what
things like that, because some of these other children who are more active and mobile and communicative and stuff like that, mm-hmm. it's hard for them to have a playdate with P because
I get that.
She doesn't do those things.
Yeah.
And she's so like delayed in her responses and things like that. Some of her peers that could be in this situation might not have that attention span to like, or that recognition to know, like, you kind of got to give her a minute, like, to, you know, the cause and effect kind of thing. Yeah. And it is, it's just super hard.
Well, and I think, you know, like, that's one of the hardest things for me is like, when I get into a group, it's not just about like support for what we're going through, which is great. Like, no matter whatever level their child might be experiencing CP or not CP, whatever. Like,
oh, yeah, because there's so many things.
It's good to have those people just to be able to talk to, because on a level, yes, they 100% understand. They understand appointments and doctors and all that stuff. But part of wanting to reach out is to find those people who have similar children that you can potentially set up play dates with or get together with, which is really hard because, like you said, you know, Piper has a lot of limitations with mobility and talking and all that stuff. And not a lot of kids, even adults, know how to handle that and be around it. So it makes things hard.
Because, I mean, it takes some getting used to, and
yeah,
there's an adjustment there.
100%.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
And like you said, even for adults, like, it's hard to explain to someone, like, that she gets it, but just because she's not, like, fully engaged with you, doesn't mean that she's not understanding or hearing, or and she could just not be caring right at the moment.
Yeah.
But
it's
just so hard.
It is. And I get it, because, you know, I know Piper very well. I would like to think.
I'd like to think we know her pretty well.
I would like to think I know her very well. Even for me, in other cases where I'm presented with, because we are in a community, I do happen to be around a lot of parents who are raising disabled children.
Sometimes multiple
even children. For me, when I encounter a child with something I don't quite understand, it's an adjustment. It takes time. It takes a minute to like figure out how to interact, which, you know, in my case, I just interact with them like I do Piper. I just talk to them.
Well, because they're people.
Like a person?
They're still people.
And, you know, you kind of just go from there, like learn what works better if you do have to give them time or...
Well, and you know, for an example, when we did the buddy walk.
Yeah.
The gentleman that kind of just asked if he could join us.
Yeah.
And be a part of our group with Ellie and I and you and Piper. And it did. It took a second because at first I thought he was a volunteer.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh,
he was, you know, he's a very high functioning autistic individual.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then he started kind of explaining and sharing his story with us. And it's like, dude, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, that is, you know, he went out by himself to this event.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously don't have autism, but I have talked to people who have people in their families with autism. And from my understanding, going out in groups alone can be very overwhelming.
Listen, I don't have autism, and going out in a group alone by myself is overwhelming.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's like, I don't even have autism, and I don't really want to go to a big, giant event with a
bunch
of people. And
I get it. Like, it's completely different. But
it's different because it can be very overwhelming
with
someone with autism. And I just thought he was just...
But it's also a spectrum. We don't know. But.
Exactly. It's a whole different spectrum. But from my understanding, it also is like CP. You can be very high functioning to where you almost can't even tell.
Yeah.
Or it can be on the very severe end, you know, where it's more
and you
noticeable.
Become nonverbal, just like Piper, who's nonverbal.
And,
yeah.
And exactly. And that's how I look at it too, is it's like, well, CP's, you know, it's a different spectrum, but it's essentially mirrored. You can be, you know, on the lower end of CP and be more functioning and capable and things like that, or be on the more severe end, such as Piper, to where, you know, you're very dependent on caretakers and things of that nature because it is a very severe case.
Yeah.
And it's just a case-to-case situation. Yeah. But again, you could have a child with the exact same diagnosis yeah. as Piper and be completely different,
oh,
be
yeah.
more verbal or
which, if you think about it, pretty much everything's on a spectrum. I mean, really, if you think about it, if you want to just like, everything's on a spectrum because, you know, I'm in lots of groups on Facebook because you're just trying to figure out who you can talk to, who's going to understand all these things. Piper also has short gut, so I actually am in a short gut group on Facebook.
Oh, but I didn't know that, babe.
I am, but you know what? I don't talk to them. Do you want to know why? Because I don't feel like I fit in there, which is crazy. I get it. She has short gut, but the thing is, the things these people post about their issues, we don't experience.
So you're almost like, how?
First of all, I can't relate. And second of all, it's one of those things that's like, it makes me feel bad. Like, almost like I don't belong here because she's not
that's
severe
not,
it, or like yeah, she's not. Because
she doesn't have, well, I don't know. If she'd have lost, I mean, she lost 45, 48 centimeters, something like that. And they told us if we have to take any more, she won't live because she won't have enough intestines to absorb anything.
I get that. Yeah. So,
but I get what you mean. Yeah. Like, to not feel like we're severe enough to belong there.
Yeah, because the things that these people are experiencing, some of these other stories could be
so much more extreme.
She still can take food technically by mouth. Not that she does necessarily, but she still can have food in her belly. And well,
she likes to eat pudding when she's at Nana's.
Of course. I think that is just a her and a Nana thing.
Yeah.
And she's very passionate about this.
Are you so happy? Yeah, you sound very happy. I know.
I'm also a part of... Well, I'm a part of a group for CVI, which is the specific condition Piper has for seeing.
Oh, her visual impairment. That's, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, which is fine. I don't hear much around that group, but, you know, we still get help from, like, the school from the blind and the deaf.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird because it's like, again, she has vision issues and she technically is blind, like legally.
Oh, legally, yeah.
But I mean, she can see.
Well, and you have no peripheral vision and you're maybe going to get 18 to 20 inches of, you know, frontal yeah. vision. Like yeah. that's, you can't, I don't think she can see all that great.
No, she can't. You're right. That's why she's legally blind. Yes. But again, you know, it doesn't feel like you fit there because our focus really isn't on how much she can see. Our focus is more on her mobility and her speech. I think because so many things are affected as it's like.
Well, and it's because she has so many things that may not be like super severe as if someone has just that one.
Yeah. And you don't focus on just that. Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's not
like
just
someone who is just
blind
deaf, or just, or,
yeah.
blind,
like,
you know, or someone who just has shortcut.
Yeah.
Or.
Yeah.
Something like that to where it's like a more severe case.
Yeah.
Well, Piper's still a pretty severe case in some of these things, like mm-hmm. like shortcut. I didn't know you were a part of a group like that, and I can't even imagine what some of the conversations are,
yeah.
or posts or whatever that are on yeah. the boards on that place. But for them to be that extreme to make you feel like, gosh, I don't even belong here. Like Piper like, is not that bad.
But
there are times that she really is, though. I mean, when she doesn't have a bowel movement for 5, 6, 7 days.
Well, you have to think, like, it's not just that. There's so many, like, these kids are on, you know, TPN, which we know is horrendous because it's IV. But because they literally can't take nutrition anywhere else because their bodies can't hold it. So it's just one of those...
And it sucks because I don't feel like it should be, and I know we've covered this before, like it shouldn't be like my diagnostics for my child is worse than yours.
No.
Like it shouldn't be a fucking competition.
And it's not like, and I don't see it that way.
I know you don't, but
even though it seems like
to feel like, well, shit, we're not severe enough to, man, like we got nothing to say. Yeah.
And like, I know that that's like a personal thing. That's not, and nobody said anything. Sure. Like, you know, it's not, it's a personal thing, but it, It's so weird. Like,
and I think it's because of how society has become. It's like a stigma that it's like, well, I don't have anything to say that's half as extreme as that. Like, do I belong here? Like, do what? Oof. Are they all going to be like, what are you doing here? Like, your kid's fine. Get the hell out. Like, no. We still have issues. I'm sorry. Like, just not as bad.
So it's so weird to think. Okay, so just try to follow my train of thought. Sometimes I don't explain well. So obviously we have a disabled child who has lots of... Stop looking at me like that. Oh my God. You're trying really hard to like focus.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Dialed it.
Okay. So yes, we are raising a disabled child who has lots of... Who's also medically complex.
Medically complex.
Yes. It's true. It is. She is not a typical child. 100%. So I'm wondering if this is what parents with... typical children feel like sometimes, because when I see other people and I'm like, oh man, like that must be really hard, because you know luckily like that's not on our plate of things to deal with,
like having three kids all running around like, you know, mad kids on cocaine.
Not like that. No, I'm talking within the disabled community, when I feel like you see somebody else who has their child may be struggling more in other areas, whatever that may be. And on the inside, you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't feel like I belong, because at this moment, I'm feeling grateful or lucky or sad because they are dealing with more. Like, you're still like comparing, even though you're not.
It, because it's like, well, right now, you know, Piper is doing great. She hasn't had a hospital stay all year. And their little kid's just struggling to breathe, let's say. You know what I mean? Like, I get what you mean. I totally get what you mean.
And I don't, it's just so weird how the brain works. Like, your child is still disabled and mine is still disabled. Like, we're still in a boat that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
But yet you can still feel like an outcast or like you don't belong. It's weird. I don't understand that feeling.
Well, that's why I like that we do all of, you know, like the mascot for miracles and, you know, all the little events and stuff, because the community comes out to them. Piper is not the only one in a wheelchair. She is, you know, not the only child with multiple disabilities. She's in I like going to those.
Yeah.
Because for me, because we don't see it all the time. We don't get to see the community all the time. And even just in our day-to-day lives, you don't see a ton of disabled people. So to have these events that we participate in and to see other families, for me, it's like, huh, we're not alone.
No, you're right. And that's true. That is like a sigh of relief when you're like, oh,
just
and
us.
You do. And it's weird because, again, you get in those groups and you're like, oh, these are my people.
Yeah,
like they, this is, they like, get it's it. So,
they get it.
It's so weird. Like, again, it's just like hit or miss. Sometimes it's easy to feel an outcast, and sometimes you're like, oh no, this is home. Like,
yeah,
like,
this is where I belong. This is great. This is, yeah, this, these are my people.
Yep.
That's, I do. Like, when we do the tailgates, I'm glad that those are probably gone. I'm going to be real sad because.
Oh, well, that's, yeah.
But.
That's a whole other thing. Yep.
Yeah, no, the mascot for miracles and all the other things that we go to.
Yeah.
I love it. I even if we go and Piper decides that she's not wanting to stay and hang out, even if we're there for just a little bit to see the community out and about doing things with multiple other families, it's like, yes. It is not just us.
You can
reel it in, buddy. I know you're about, you know, 2 inches from the edge right there. It's not just you. It's not just Alicia. There are other families out there too that do. Are they in the exact same boat? Maybe not quite.
No,
but they can relate. They can, you know, they can comprehend what's going on. And at least to some aspect, to some point.
No, that's true. I think it's also just easier in a big group because when you are in a massive group and you can see that everybody is different, I don't know, it's harder to compare, like, because you're not comparing, you know, like, again, if you're like in a CP group, you're like, you're feeling like you're comparing this one thing that looks completely different, yeah, as opposed to just being in a massive group with a whole bunch of people who have all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
You're not. You're just like, everybody here gets it on some level.
Yeah.
Gets it. I think that's the difference. Because when you narrow it down into a group, you're like focused on that thing that may look different for everybody.
Well, and again, it's hard because, you know, Piper does have multiple things that she has to deal with. It's not just cerebral palsy. It's, you know, the I guess the nonverbal falls into her cerebral palsy, but, you know, she has her shunt, she has short gut, she's got CVI, she's got cerebral palsy. I mean, she's got all these different things.
It's a list of things.
Yeah, I'm like, she's got all these different things, and you know, to try and find people that match up with that to where, you know, maybe their kids and them are going to be okay with hanging out with us, because Piper can't, you know, roll a ball back and forth. I mean,
hey, I am working on it.
I know. I saw you guys the other day.
I am working on it.
She's getting great. she's working on it.
It is a process.
But again, there's just, you know, she can't interact as much with a peer, you know, as some of her peers would probably want or like, because again, you know, trying to explain to another 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, well, she loves to be read to, just hang out and maybe read her a book, or, you know, if they don't have, you know, if maybe one of their disabilities or I don't want to say a disability, maybe like a shortcoming or something. I don't know. I don't want to word it that way either, because that sounds horrible. I don't want to sound horrible. But, you know, if that other child is just like, 2 seconds, I'm out. Nope. It just doesn't. They can't give Piper the time that she needs.
Yeah.
You know, they can't make that connection. And
that's
what breaks my heart, is it's like,
it's just hard.
It's so hard to, you know, try and set up play dates and stuff like that.
But yeah, that's, I mean, really the hardest part for me is just trying to find somebody to connect with that our kids. And I, again, you're right, Piper doesn't play in a typical way, but I promise you, if there was another kid out there who was like, they're like, listen, their favorite thing to do is watch Disney movies, and they could sit and watch Disney movies together, I promise you they would be happy.
Or, you know, hey, let them hang out. Like, because Piper likes to, for someone who can't move a lot, if you lay her down on the floor to, like, kind of stretch out her body, she will roll all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Man. Oh, yeah.
I think if, like, maybe another person that was like that, if you could lay them next to each other, I bet they, you know, would interact with each other.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even when I do it with Piper, I'll, you know, lay her down on the bed, we'll read a book or whatever, and then I just kind of lay there with her, and she'll roll over, and then she puts her arm over my shoulder, and, you know, she snuggles with me and puts her head to my head. Like, there are just things that she does, but, you know, if I'm on her level.
Yeah. No, I get that.
I'm laying there with her.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of following her lead.
Yeah.
And I think if she had someone that, you know, was her age or something like that.
Well, not even that. Like her little bestie at school who is older than her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
The one that's moving to the.
Yeah, she's moving on. She's not staying in elementary school. Yeah. She was in sixth grade, so she's moving on. But, you know, her and Piper had a bond, whatever that was.
From what you told me and some of the interactions and things that had happened, I would 100% say that they had a bond.
Yeah.
I mean, if having an issue and she started throwing a fit and getting upset, and for her to, you know, for Piper to react and be like, hey, what, like, and for her to start getting upset and stuff, like, what's going on? That's my friend.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Yeah. And Piper tends to laugh when people get overly loud and upset normally. She thinks it's funny.
Yes, she does.
Whatever the case may be. But yes, in this particular case, they must have had some kind of bond, because when her friend would get upset and get loud, usually would cause Piper to get upset, which is just, you must know there's got to be something there,
because
that's not her normal behavior. Yeah,
she normally is laughing like, what's going on? This is funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just, sometimes it's hard, but you know, I do have somebody that it's so weird. I like don't want to call her a friend, which sounds rude. And then I don't mean it that way, but I also don't want to sound like clingy.
So, you could say acquaintance. You have an acquaintance.
But I feel like that also sounds like not, I don't know. Anyways, I know her from school. Another adult that I always saw at school who actually ended up working there. And we talk and we have hung out in a social setting one time out of school. And she did just invite us to a barbecue.
So I would say friend.
So, you know, I'm super excited to go. I mean, she knows Piper. So, I mean, she
understands
the situation. Yes. Do I think her kids will give two craps about Piper? No.
Probably.
And that's fine. I don't expect them to. They're young. But it was nice that she still
invited us. Yeah, extended the offer.
Yeah. Because, you know, traveling with Piper is sometimes hard.
It can be. Very much so.
And I think people don't know what to do with that also.
Well, and I had a really close coworker that I work with, Miss Linda. She actually is...
Oh, this is the only way we communicate. Well, not the only way we can communicate now.
she actually... left us. Her last day was yesterday.
She quit.
Yeah, she quit.
Sorry, when you say she left us, and it sounded so sad, like
my
mind goes like dark fast. She quit. It's fine.
No, she's
still
here. she quit. She moved on to another job. But I had told her, I was like, now that it's warmed up, we can. I'll get some propane. We can barbecue. We'll put the pool up and you can bring the kids over.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
Yeah. And she's got two younger kids. Gosh, I want to say like 4 and 6 or something like that.
Are you sure you want this guessing game on the podcast where she's going to listen to it?
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
Okay, I was giving you an opportunity
I can't remember. I just know that they are younger.
Yeah.
But she says that like they always like ask about her and stuff, like Piper.
Well, that's sweet.
So I just thought, you know, if we had the pull up and stuff, they could come over and hang out. And
yeah. No, that would be super fun.
So
super fun. And you know, honestly, as terrible as it sounds, which probably most people can relate to this. This probably doesn't just us, but it's just so much easier at your own house. I am not opposed to going places, but you know, when Piper is in the comfort of her own home, she knows, and I have everything here she could possibly need. Yeah, so it is just easier.
It
just
makes it a little easier.
Again, not opposed to going places. Well, but
she told me, you know, she's like, yeah, we would totally love to come over. Like, that's our jam. We love just barbecuing and hanging out. And so,
yeah.
And Piper loves the pool.
Piper and I told her, I said,
your bigger kids might not be too into it because it's not like a big pool. I'm like, but
no,
you know,
not at all.
I'm like, the younger kids, I'm like, your two littles would probably enjoy it. I was like, Piper loves it.
Oh, yeah. Loves it. I mean, really, it's her pool. It's not anybody else's. It's Piper's.
It's Piper's pool.
Yeah. So, and I will fight with it every summer for her happiness.
It's what you do.
It's what you do as a parent, I think. You just, you're just like, is this worth the battle? This is worth the battle. So,
well, that's what falls back into, you know, just keep trying to do the whole network thing. And
yeah. Yeah.
And you do it for her. We do it for her.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Because she deserves it.
She deserves it. She deserves all the same experiences and, you know,
even if it's exhausting for me and I don't want to. She deserves all the good things. Stressful. So yes. I will keep doing them and showing up and being a part of all the groups. I just keep holding out. There's faith that there's going to be one person. I don't even need a whole group. There's going to be one person somewhere out there. Yep. That we're just going to hit it off. We're going to be besties. Like, I am going to get an ear full after this podcast now that I've just said all those words. Yeah.
Are you sure you want to say that? Do you want to leave that in there?
We're going to leave it in there. It's fine. I'm now prepared for it. I've said it. I realized it as I was saying it. That's it. This is...
It's just different. That's all it is. Yeah. I mean, it's not that she doesn't have a bestie. She does have a bestie that loves her very much.
Yes.
It's just a different situation. And I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It would be very nice if she could have a bestie a little more on her level.
Yeah. And I could be besties with her mom. That'd be a perk.
So what you're saying is you just want another mom to drink with, a drinking buddy.
Hey, that would be inappropriate for us only two adults to be drinking with our disabled children who can't take care of themselves. So you and this fantasy child and wife, you need to be best friends with the husband. So... You guys can be the responsible ones. Do you like this fantasy world I'm building right now?
Well, we know it's a complete and total fantasy because nobody wants to be my friend.
Not with that attitude. Max is hitting himself with his phone. I don't understand what's happening. We've gone off the rails. He's upset. Listen, this is why people come back, because we're a little bit unorthodox. Yeah. All 10 of you. Sometimes it's 20 of you. It gets a little, you know, we're a little sketchy in the middle. It's because, first of all, we always come back for Piper, because when she talks, hello, it's pure gold.
It's true.
And happiness.
My mom loves it. It's the best.
I know. It is the best. And the fact that, you know, we are just having a conversation. None of this is scripted. We have not planned any of this very well. Here we are winging it.
Like we usually do.
Yeah. Welcome to life, okay? It's not scripted. You can't know the ending to everything, so.
But anyway, I think that's all we were going to cover today.
That was it for today, probably.
Yes. Well, we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for coming back.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.